light and have it to the full. If you could memorize this at the end of the meeting, our sister Margaret over there. It's Margaret, let me see you. We'll have some prizes for you. Okay. So another name of the devil is called the thief. And the thief comes to rob us of valuable, precious possession. He will not take second-hand things, garbage, but he will take the most precious things. And he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. While I was preparing here, I remember a particular brother whom I ideally love, because I saw in him the purity of heart, the hunger for Jesus. When the Lord God touched him, he has such hunger for God's presence and God's word that each meeting he will come early. He will help us set up the place. And you can see the beam in his face, the joy, okay, of God's presence upon him. And when we are worshiping, he's all out, raising hand and praising God. And he will pray out loud. And you can see it's from the heart. And people who hear his prayer are moved to see such purity of heart, sincerity of heart for Jesus.
Brother Ross,
yes.
Sorry, you're missing one word.
What word?
I have come that they may have life.
Okay. Yes. Take note, please. Okay, where was I?
Sorry,
this brother that touched me. Okay. And everybody was expecting him to be one of the people called by God for full-time ministry. You see the love of God, the passion of God upon him. Okay. But the next thing we know, during meetings, he will come late, and then he will skip some of the meetings until we don't see him anymore. I was busy with other stuff, but I always remember him. Okay. But what turned out to be is that something happened along the way. Okay. He has a friend, a girlfriend. This is only like a 15-year-old kid, high schooler. And they were just getting very intimate, and the relationship got physical. You know, something happened with the both of them, sexually. And I didn't know that. And then he will come, sad, the joy is gone, the hunger is gone. I could see just guilt and shame. I don't know what the story there. And he will not open. And then I realized after he's gone, we were visiting his place, he will not see us, he won't speak to anyone, he will hide from us. That the devil has got hold of him. Okay. The devil stole the joy, the purity, the passion, and the desire for Jesus. That's heartbreaking for me. So when I prepare for this message, my prayer for the young people here, thank God for Pastor David and Sister Greta, who love our young people so much. I pray that none of you will experience this, what this brother has experienced. I myself, I did not have a good childhood. Okay. I have been through family dysfunction. I love my parents. They have been brought by the Lord. I have been some school bullying and a lot of emotional problem there. But I thank God the Lord picked me up, cleansed me, washed me, and now I have a mission to say, hey young people, I hope you will not be like me. I hope that what I have gone through will not be your story. Let me be a road sign here saying this is dangerous. Don't follow me. Okay, if that be a shameful thing, let it be so. Let my one bullet, the remaining bullet, those small, crumpled, abused, be used by God against the devil. Okay, so this morning I'd like to share a character here on the life of Daniel. Yesterday we were sharing about Paul, and then, yes, okay, next slide, please. Okay, today we want to share about the life of Daniel, how Daniel was enthralled by God's glory, that he realized who God is, who he is, and that he could stand strong amidst the powerful influence of the world through King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Okay. So, maybe some of us are familiar with the book of Daniel chapter 1. Okay, no time to read the God's word, but we're going to go through it very fast. So, King Nebuchadnezzar came and then captured Jerusalem, besieged Jerusalem. And when he besieged Jerusalem, two things he did. One and two, okay, next slide, is that he took the holy utensils. In Jerusalem, there's the holy temple there. And then they have holy utensils there, the plates, the saucers, all of the bowls, the lampstand, the cups. It is sacred, it is holy, it is only to be used in God's temple to offer offerings before God. But the first thing that King Nebuchadnezzar did, take all of these things out of the temple, out of Jerusalem, into the land of Babylon, into his palace, into his God. Okay, and then the next one. The second thing that he did is that he asked the court official, gather all the young people here, and then pick up those who have no physical defect. Handsome, showing aptitude in learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified. Who comes into mind when we mention this kind of qualities? Anyone? Anyone among us here? All of us. Amen. Okay. Now, pick all of these guys. Okay? And then from the royal family, these are royal families. These are from the line, the Israelites. Okay. Pick them out and then bring them out of Jerusalem into Babylon, into my palace. I'm going to train them for 3 years. Teach them the literature. The next slide. Okay. Teach them the language. The literature for 3 years with one purpose, that they will be in my palace to serve me. So can we see the pattern here? The holy utensil from the holy place out from Jerusalem into Babylon into their God. These young people, refined, cultured, intelligent, handsome, taken out into Babylon, into the king's palace here. Okay. So the devil here, okay, the king Nebuchadnezzar symbolizing the devil, he aims to steal. He aims to destroy. And then he aims to use them for his means. Yes? Okay. Oh, yes. You can see this in the life of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ came here on earth and he was tempted three times. Three temptations. And one of the temptations is that Jesus Christ was brought on high mountain to see the whole world. Okay, in just a glimpse of time, Universal Studio, Disneyland, okay, Empire State Building, the whole of U.S., the whole of China, Great Wall, I will give this all to you. All this thing will be given to you, just bow down and worship me. I have the power, it belongs to me. Just bow down, worship me, and I will give it to you. So what is the point here? The devil wants worship. The devil wants this holy utensil into his temple. The devil wants the young people into the king's palace. And the devil wants even Jesus bow down and worship. Okay? Hold it. I don't want to see something. Okay. Next slide. What's the next slide? Yeah? Okay. Have you read the news lately about three bored teens who shot someone jogging to death? And what was the reason? It was not out of anger. We were just bored. We didn't have anything to do, so we decided hunt, kill someone. Okay? Let me have it here. So, three Oklahoma teens charged in thrill kill of an OC baseball player. They were bored and decided to kill someone for fun. They saw Christopher Lane, 22-year-old college baseball player, jogging and says, "Hey, that's our target." Okay, so they followed him in a car. The three of them board the car. And then this one, Chansey, the first one, 17-year-old pulled the trigger. The two, they were in the driver's seat, 16 and 15-year-old, and then shot him at the back and drove off just for the fun of it. Okay, there were video surveillance, they were caught, arrested. There were news all over, and now they are charged with first-degree murder. I googled it. What is the penalty of first-degree murder? It throws the harshest sentence of any crime, death penalty, or life imprisonment without possibility of parole. So these are 17, 16, 15-year-old kids. And we could live up to 80. So the rest of their, how many more years to go? 80, 15, 65 years, all in prison. The rest of his life, all in prison, no parole. Okay, no wonder there's a saying, the youth is wasted among the young. Can we understand that? The youth is wasted among the young. The young people have the energy, the creativity, the talent. Okay, unlike the senior one, getting slow and old. But they have the talent, but it's wasted. Why? Behind it. May I ask you what could be the motive here? What behind being bored, what could be the reason that they could do such act? Anyone here? There's Barbie, Sister Margaret. We owe her chocolates here.
They were tempted.
They
rid of something that, you know, that they really don't want. Or to something that they always want to have.
Okay. Any other answer? Yes. Yep. James.
They were really reckless and they didn't think things through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just reckless. Okay. Now, I'm not sure. I was thinking they're into some video games, you know. They're used to kill people, you know. Blood all over. And then bomb the house. Bomb the planet. And then they thought it's another video game. And tap. It's real. Hey, it's dead. Okay. Anyway, this is the work of the devil. He wants to kill, to steal, destroy the young people through various means. Okay, next slide. Okay, three big influence among the teens. Now, my data may be outdated. Okay, I have this like 2000. Okay, the big influence among young people, they influence them in the mind. Do we have other latest statistics here, Pastor David?
Okay. Those look pretty good.
Okay, music. Okay, music, subtly. Okay, we cannot resist music. Music has a subliminal effect. You're just lured to their rap beat, to their melody, and then those lyrics, you are now chanting. And then you are not, it becomes your value, and then you walk in it, you live it out. Media. We all have it, the TV, newspapers, magazines, internet, okay, all of this, very accessible, one click. And peers, friends. It's different when you are alone, you dare not do things, but when you're in a group, you become violent, okay, pressured to do those kind of stuff. Next one. Okay. So is she one of the, she was one of the Disney Cartoon Network star, isn't it? Okay. That's right. Okay. She shocked the world with her scandalous performance at the MTV Video Music Awards. What? What happened? Because she stripped down under her flesh. Sorry for this. Is it too graphic? Yeah, okay. Hold it for a while. Is it? Next slide. No, okay, that's okay. It's okay. Is it? Okay, she stripped down on her flesh-colored undies and grinded against Robin Thicke. She went from squeaky clean to a scandalous songbird. What's the next slide? Okay, so much for that. Okay. Now, a Texas mother posted an open letter on her blog. A Texas mother saw saw a picture, saw a scandal, and then she posted an open letter on a blog Monday urging her 13-year-old daughter to use Miley Cyrus as an example of the kind of girl she should never become. And then, Kim Keller, who runs another blog, used this letter, posted it, and then 36 hours later, like one day and a half, the letter entitled, Dear Daughter, Let Miley Cyrus Be a Lesson to You, gained 3 million views. Okay, so I'll ask our sister Lucretta to read the letter here, so we will have an idea
what it is all about. Thank you.
Okay. Dear daughter, let Miley Cyrus be a lesson to you.
Sorry. The picture makes me sad. I think she's just such a beautiful girl, you know? And then how the enemy just comes and distorts that God means to be beautiful. And what God says is beautiful, you know? And so I feel sad for her. Okay, let me read this letter.
Yes, this is what happens when you constantly hear that everything you do is awesome. And this is what happens when people fawn over you every tweet and Instagram photo. This is what happens when no responsible adult has ever taught you that you are created in the image and the likeness of God with the purpose to know and love and serve God in this world so that you can be with Him in the next. This is what happens when you live in a world where you are confused, when immature parents are more focused on plastic surgery or shopping or being hip than on teaching their children the beauty of our Catholic faith. This woman was a Catholic. And its teachings, as well as the virtues of humility, love, faith, and modesty. You see, when you follow the world, you find darkness, unhappiness, and ultimately death. And when you follow the will of God in your life, you find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You recognize those? Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the things that you cannot have without Jesus saving you. These are the things the world cannot have, you guys. They try very hard. They cannot have this without the Holy Spirit and Jesus' presence. Listen to those again. You find love, joy. You're going to sing with me. I'll say it. You repeat. Love,
joy,
peace,
patience,
kindness, goodness,
faithfulness,
and self-control. Miley Cyrus is not edgy or queer or sexy. She's been sold a bill of goods by our current hedonistic culture. That a young girl is defined by her exterior looks and sexuality never has been told the truth, that her inner beauty comes from the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. The light of Christ lies within her, no matter how much she may try to mask it with the darkness of tattoos, piercings, or scanty clothing. I'm sorry if you ever felt sad because I have turned everything into talks about virtue and the path of holiness and striving for sanctity in our daily lives. Remember, this is a mother telling her daughter these things. But this is truly what God has called me as your mother to instill in you during your childhood. You see, it is true. Everyone is called to be a saint. Everyone is called to love Jesus and be a follower of God. We all have our different paths to sanctity. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Not just Mother Teresa. We all have our different paths to sanctity, and no route we take on that path is ever too far from God that we cannot turn back and choose the path of God's will and personal holiness. God bless you, my precious child.
So different, it is read from my mother. So we see how the devil worked in her, and we could say that she's used. Okay? Many people follow her, many people adore her, and unknowingly, we not only sing her song, we follow her fashion, we follow her lifestyle, it becomes cool. It becomes acceptable. Okay, so it's heartbreaking. And the last one, I want to share about one of my disciples. Before I came here in the U.S., we have a lot of kids here who really love God, but this one in particular was close to me. Okay. Yeah. So one time he opened to me his struggle. He says, Brother Rob, I have same feelings. I have feelings for the same sex. I am gay. Okay, so I was shocked there. And so for my study in counseling, yeah, I told him it's not your fault. You're still young. This could be changed. Let's work on your family. So I sit with her mom, with her dad. I let him really settled down until one day he opened it to his mom and dad and told about his struggle. Okay, and then we tried to work out some things there. It's the absentee father and the dominant mother, okay, and then the melancholic personality. Okay, but I had to come here. So 2 years have gone, and the latest that I have over the Facebook is that he says, can you call me? I am so down. So I called him, what happened? Okay, he says, you know, one night as I was driving, someone just hitched along, an old man, and something happened there between the both of us in that car. And I heard that, I don't know how to react. I was so angry, so sad, so disappointed that this could happen to him, and I was not there. And I remember one of the revival meeting that we had, just like this, the conference that we had, and he was sitting somewhere in front. And the Lord just moved me to approach him and pray for him. And then when I prayed for him, I felt the presence of God just pouring through me, passing through me. Okay, God wants to fill him. And he was just crying and crying. And one word came out. Lord, I am so lonely. No one understands. I am so lonely. So that is his heart. And from there I saw how the devil used a lot of factors, work, family, his situation, robbed him of his purity, robbed him of God's presence, robbed him of the joy. Okay. Now, we want to use the life of Daniel here to help ourselves to see how God can keep us. When the devil is waking, the devil steals, kills, and destroy, but the second line says, Jesus Christ came that we may have life and that we might have it abundantly. The devil works so powerfully, subtly, music, friends, peer pressure, I should look cool, I should conform with my friends, and unknowingly I'm moving on that side of the line. But thank God, Jesus Christ was sent by the Father God, and he came here to give us that life, and that we might have it abundantly. And Daniel here exemplifies of a person who was put into that situation, a Babylonian environment. He could be pulled down, but the Lord kept him. I'd like to share 3 points here. Number one, identity. Secondly, resolution. And the third one is companionship. Okay, number one, first, okay, is that Daniel here, though he was taken out of Jerusalem, taken out of the holy place, brought in the land of Babylon, and then being trained, brainwashed, you should learn, you should speak Babylonian language. Anyway, anyone knows what is the Babylonian language? What is that? Yes. Okay. Yeah, and then learn the literature. If you want to learn the language, learn the culture. Learn the literature. Brainwashing him. Okay, forget God's word. Forget your culture. Forget your God. And then believe in our God. Adopt here. Embrace it. So that was the situation of Daniel. But Daniel was preserved by God until the end. He stood firm for Jesus. Now what is that? The three factors when God wrote in Daniel that he will be kept pure amidst this perverse world. The first one is identity. Knowing what the Lord has accomplished for us and now knowing who we are right now. Paul saw the Lord in his glory. But Daniel not only saw the Lord, he saw who he is in Christ. And with that identity, he stood firm. He rejected those food. He will not define himself with the king's choice food. He is a Hebrew. He is a believer of God. He is of the Israelite origin. Okay. Paul says, you are a temple of the living God. Peter says, you are a royal priesthood, a royal holy nation, and a special people. John says, you are the Son of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that you be called children of God. Okay. Anyway, if you read Daniel chapter 1, you realize one of the first things that King Nebuchadnezzar did is change the name of Daniel and his three friends. So Daniel had three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then King Nebuchadnezzar says, change your name. So Daniel's name was changed into Belteshazzar, Mishael into Shadrach, Azariah into Meshach, and then the other one is Abednego. Change your name. Now, during those times, the names have meaning. Parents giving your name to you, it has meaning there. Daniel meant, God is my judgment. Or judgment of God. Hananiah means grace, mercy, the gift of the Lord. Mishael means who is like God? No one can compare like him. And Azariah means the Lord is my help. Jehovah is my help. Now change their name. Now what is the meaning of their name right now? It means the servant of the prince, the servant of the king, the shadow of the prince. The prince of sin. So one pattern here is from grace, from God is my judgment, God is my help. God, with none can tell like God, into servant, into priest. So changing their identity. That is the work of the devil. But God protected Daniel by showing him who he is. He saw this so clearly. He was enthroned, enchanted, gripped, captivated by this, and nothing can shake him and nothing can move him. So if you study the history of the Jewish people, when you are young, the parents will teach you the Torah, the commandments. They give them, impress the commandments to your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down. Hide them as symbols on your hand, bind them on your foreheads, write them on your doorposts, frame of your houses, even the gates. So yet the young kids here, they grew up with God's word. They grew up with such impression of who we are. We are not like them. We are distinct. We are different. We belong to God. We are God's people. Jehovah, Yahweh is our God. They know that. So this identity was so impressed with Daniel. So when he came there, he knew the boundaries. Okay, you may do these things, but I cannot. You may eat those food, but I will not. You may sing those songs, I will not. You may study those language, I may put it in my mind, but it's not in my heart. So he's very clear on that. And that identity caused him to separate himself from the infiltration of the evil one. Can we go to the next slide? Please, okay. Next one, please. Okay, so Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. So there are 3 years in the school of Babylon. They could enjoy all the food of the king, even from the king's table, eat it, eat all you can, even the wine, flowing wine, eat all you can. But David says, no, I will not eat that. I will not defile myself with these things. Now why? Because he knows his identity. Okay, let's go back there, please. First line, yeah, okay. Now we could see this in the life of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil in the desert for 3 times, okay, if you are the Son of God, you are so hungry right now, you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you have the power to change the stone to bread. Okay, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes out from the mouth of God. Okay, you say you are the Son of God, then prove your power, prove your might. The devil brought him to the high pinnacle of the temple, jump from here. And then when you jump and then you land, perfect landing, and people will know, this is truly the Son of God, Superman. And everybody will worship you, pride of life. And then give you, show him all of the beauties, the riches of the world, I give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. Be done, you shall serve and worship God alone. Now how could Jesus Christ resist those temptations like Daniel? Because before, prior to this temptation, Jesus Christ was baptized. Do you remember the story here? Okay, John the Baptist came and he was baptized in the Jordan River. When he was baptized, suddenly the whole heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and the Father speaking to him, this is my beloved Son, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ here know that he is the Son of God and the beloved of the Father, and the Father is pleased with him. This is his identity. I'm a person loved by my Father. I am the Son of God, and God is so proud of me. I'm pleasing to the Father. We will take note here, the Lord has not done any miracles, he has not been crucified yet, but the Lord, Father God, is very proud and pleased with him. So he go out with an affirmation that I am already pleasing to the Father, loved by the Father. Okay, I am the Son of God. He knows his identity. I need not to prove it. I need not to please my Father. The Father is already pleased with me. The Father is already proud of me. And from this vantage, he resisted the devil. There are 2 advantages wherein we resist the devil. We resist temptation. Why will I not do that? Why will I not do those weird stuff? I'm afraid to be caught. I'm afraid of punishment. But the other advantage is, I don't want to hurt my parents. My parents love me. My parents are proud of me. So I'm grateful out of gratitude. So the advantage here of Jesus Christ is, Father God loves me. I have the Father God. So I say no to the devil. That deep identity. So early in my Christian life, one of the turning points that I had is one day when God opened my eyes to see Jesus Christ in me. We know that. We sing that song, we read that Bible verse, okay, and it's taught in Sunday school. But one day I was reading a book, The Normal Christian Life, by Brother Watchman Nee. If you have the chance, please read it. It's a good one. There's one chapter there that speaks about, we have Christ here in our heart, treasure in earthen vessel. He's not outside there, he's already here in our heart. Okay, I forgot what he's talking about there. But when I read that, suddenly that word opened to me. What? The Son of God? The Creator of the universe? My Savior, my King, here in my heart? So I mentioned before that I was a Catholic. As a Catholic, if I want to speak to God, I want to pray, I have to go to the chapel, light some candle, and even bring flowers, kneel down, and talk to God. Father God, I have sinned, please forgive me. Lord, I have an exam here, please help me. What should I do? What school I go? Yeah. And then evening time, I should light some candle in front of the Virgin Mary to talk to God. But this book says, you don't need to go to the chapel, you don't need to kneel down before those images. The Lord is in you. He's right there in your heart. So I remember I was sleeping on my bed, I was facing that window, and then when suddenly that word opened, it's a revelation, it's a light, it's a rhema, I dare not move. what? The Lord is here. I said, oh my God, God is here. No, He's here in my heart. And then I moved. The first feeling was, I am afraid. God is here. And then second feeling was guilt. My room is dirty. My heart is dirty. I'm sinful. I'm carnal. I'm proud. I don't deserve God to come here in my heart. And then when I got lodged in, I was so happy. Lord, I need not be afraid. I need not be lonely. You are in me. You are with me wherever I go. And when I stood up there, okay, do my thing, it's a different vantage right now. I will not speak careless words. I will not do those sinful things. I will not go to those sinful places. Not because I'm afraid to be caught. Not because I'm not afraid to be punished. But because the Lord is with me. I dare not defile Him. As if you realize you are wearing white and you dare not go to those dirty places. So here, Daniel, he saw himself. He is a holy nation. He is a holy person. He is a sanctified person. He is a son of God. He is a man of God. And his identity caused him to make a resolution. He will not defile himself with those wicked things. Okay, the next slide. Yep. So here is resolution. First, the identity, knowing it, and then making a resolution not to defile himself with the king's choice food. Okay, the question is here is, what's wrong with the food of the king? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with eating with the king? Hello? Anyone? Yes, the Superman there. Yeah? What? What's wrong with eating with the food? Too expensive when you buy. So just keep it. Don't eat it. Just stuff it there. Put it in a museum.
Keep it for 3 years.
Okay. Just take a photo of it and toss it. Yep. Yes. It's leaving again. Share a lollipop. What? There's a pork in it. Being is a vegetarian. Okay.
Unclean
one. Okay. He's working on some diet there, or it's not good. Yep. Yeah. Yes, over there. Last guy there.
Offered to the idols.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Sister Margaret, give him one. Right now. Yeah. Because it's the custom of the Babylonians to offer food for their idols. Yeah. Just one. Okay. Just this guy. And we'll be to buy me three. Three. Yeah. Three. 1, 2, 3. Okay, there are more questions, don't worry. Okay, because the food we offer to idols. Okay. Yes. Not yet. You did? Okay, later on, if we still have enough.
We still have enough.
Okay. Here. Okay. So he resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. Now the question is, what do you mean by defile? Anyone? Can you define defile? Come on, while I live up there. Defile. What is defile?
Lower himself.
Yes.
Reuben.
Lower himself. James?
Tainted.
Huh? Tainted. Okay. Yes, James got it. One more? Some more? Anyone? No, some other hands. Already?
30.
Okay, 30 years. Okay, can you say that? Okay. And so defile means to make it filthy, to pollute it, to contaminate, to debase it from its purity and excellence, profane, to corrupt, make unclean and unfit. Okay, so this food offered to idols makes me dirty, corrupts me, makes me unclean. Okay, second question is, what do you mean by resolve?
What? You say that again?
Resolve.
Can you use it in a sentence?
In the end, resolve not to defile himself with the king's choice food. Resolve.
Resolve.
Yeah.
Resolve.
Promise. Almost. Resolve. Daniel, we saw not to defile himself. Other hands, please. Okay. Yeah.
Catherine.
Saul. Some more. Some more again. Okay, that little guy here in red.
Solved again.
Solved again. Have you known that? Yeah, I'm gonna solve it again. That's funny. Okay.
Determined to do something.
Angela. Okay, Angela. Angela got it. Okay. One more. Anyone? Yep. Commit. Okay.
Hannah.
Okay, can we have it, please? So made up his mind, determined in his heart, to reach a firm decision, come to a definite or earnest decision. I will not defile myself. I will not pollute myself. I will not contaminate myself with those things. Okay. It's not easy to say no to good stuff, isn't it? You're so hungry, and then what you have, you have been eating vegetable, cauliflower, broccoli, butter, and then suddenly your friend came, pizza! Okay. And says, and then you smell the cheese, the creamy pizza. But then you realize, I can't. Or steak? Yeah? Okay. I can't. But what made Daniel says, no, I resolved, I committed myself, I decided, it's a firm decision there. We did not need to think, should I eat it or not? Okay, maybe I could eat it now. No, it's already resolved there, it's already settled there. Firm, that's a dot, period. I will not defile myself with that. Okay, so why? Because he knows, number one, when he eats it, he will be defiled. Number two, when he eats it, he becomes addicted to it. Sin, number one, is pleasurable, but number two, it's addictive. I commit it, I like it, you found me, and I like it more. We have a sister, she's here, and she works in a real estate company, and she has been blessed by God. She owns 3 houses. 3 houses rented out, and then buying more houses. Now that is her... Settle down. Okay. Now, what is her secret here? Okay, I learned it. I'm teaching her drum anyway. And then she just spilled it out. Oh, she says, you know, one client was asking me to show a house on a Sunday. But I says, no. I said, no. Sunday is the Lord's day. I will not do business transaction on a Sunday. Move it on another day. Saturday, weekdays. And she says, each time she will stay firm on that decision, stand firm in that decision, she never loses a client. The client will respect her, say, oh, you're a Christian, and you're a devout Christian. You stand firm on your faith. And the client will not only buy house from her, believe, trust her, and even refer her to another more client. Okay, we hear stories of Eric Lydell, other people who stood firm on this. Some people says, I will stand firm on my sexual purity. No physical relationship beyond marriage. I stand firm on it. Okay. The last one. We're done. Okay, hold it. Okay. So what made Daniel stand firm amidst the tide influence of the world, temptation, the thief coming to kill, steal, destroy, and ultimately use us? Win our worship. Daniel saw his identity, number two, and then he resolved, make a commitment. And the third one, his other secret is he had a spiritual companion. How many friends?
One.
How many friends?
Two.
Three.
What?
Five. Daniel and his, how many friends?
Three.
Three friends. How could you not get it? Okay. Daniel was blessed with good friends. bad with difference, okay? Bad company corrupts good morals, friendship for the world is hostility with God, but God blessed him with three friends, prayerful friends, God-fearing friends, and as a team, they were able to stand firm, resolve, to be faithful before God, holy, and be used by God, not be used by the devil. Next slide. So I have here a brother, when I was still in Manila, okay, he's one of them. He is such a sociable person, outgoing person. But when he realized that he should stand firm, not be pulled by his friend, parties, skip class, classes skipping, cheatings, okay, at first he had a hard time. I'm alone. If you stand firm in your school, you realize you'll be alone there. The rest of the friends are not doing what the word of God requires. So what did he do? Okay, I don't want to be alone, and I don't want to lose my friend. So what did he do? He invited his friend one by one to our youth meeting, one by one, until batch by batch came, and the whole batch came. And this is one of the conferences that we had, that they all came. And this friendship, this batch, was preserved by the Lord. Okay, next week will be school opening, isn't it? Alright, okay. We hope that God will be blessed. God will bless you with spiritual friends. And that God will keep you from the defilements of the world. And you will stand firm before the Lord. Okay, last one. Okay, can I have the worship team now, please? The worship team, please. Thank you. So as a closing, a person who is on the road is a person who met God, have seen His glory, a person who knows his identity, and at the end, this is a person who will stand the test of time. Can we just bow down now and let's come before God's presence in this holy moment.